You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 487 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Roland. I am back in my home studio. I had some microphone logistics issues when it came to recording in the arena this evening. But so here we are talking about what transpired and what became a 131-117 loss for the Atlanta Hawks at the hands of the Washington Wizards. There was a lot going on in this game, and as a result, we'll have a longer rundown than usual before we get to some individual breakdown stuff later on in the podcast. But we will take you through the evening from start to finish, and hopefully that's what you came aboard for on this fine evening. So from the top here, some pregame stuff that actually transpired in terms of injuries and things like that. Amari Spellman was actually a late add to the injury report as probable for this game. He was actually then upgraded to available to play later in the game on a Wednesday, and then about 45 minutes from tip-off, he was ruled out again, which is kind of a strange tidbit of information there. It actually ended up mattering more than you might think. Obviously, Spellman's absence in itself does matter into the rotations and all that fun stuff, but even beyond that, Jalen Adams, who is, of course, on the two-way contract at point guard for the Hawks, was recalled from Erie before this game, but was actually unable to play in this game because he was not active. The Hawks had already turned in their active list for this game before it was actually ruled out that Spellman couldn't play. So Adams was healthy and in the building, but could not dress out and play. And because Jeremy Lin then left the game pretty early on in the first quarter of this contest, Adams was in the building but couldn't play. That kind of left the Hawks a little bit shorthanded at point guard, as you might expect. There was weirdness as a result of that. And of course, the Hawks got down big in the first half, which we'll talk about here in a second. Also, pregame, there were some questions about Lloyd Pierce's rotations. He referenced guys playing bigger minutes and establishing rhythm in this game. Didn't really provide much clarity pregame on the the prospects of how the rotation would work out in the absence of Taurean Prince. We saw some stuff that we'll talk about later on in the podcast, but no clarity pregame. And then, of course, Tyler Dorsey plays a lot of minutes in this game, which was kind of a surprise, especially when it came to compared to Justin Anderson. We'll talk more about that later, but not a ton of commitments there from Pierce. I will say, it seemed pregame as if he wanted to play Alex Len more. He did not play him much in this game. There was a lot of stuff with injury stuff as well for the big man in this game. At one point, Collins, Dedmon, and Alex Len all had three fouls at one point. It sort of messed up the rotations there a little bit. Pierce talked about how after the game, there was just a lot of stuff that sort of impacted the way that he had to deploy guys. So pretty unorthodox rotation in this game for a lot of the way, but nothing he really could have done much differently. There were some things that I probably would nitpick, but in the grand scheme, this was not probably the game to latch on to when it comes to actually figure out what the rotation is in a post-Taurean Prince world for the next 3 weeks. I do think that things will settle at some point, but for now, everyone in the active roster played in this game, and that was sort of adding to the level of weirdness that you might expect here in this game. So, with that said, other than that, also Washington did not have either John Wall or Jeff Green in this game, which kind of makes things interesting in a lot of ways. And one funny note pregame before we get into what actually transpired during the 48-minute contest, Lloyd Pierce actually could not remember before the game which Morris twin was on the Wizards roster. Every once in a while, you need a bit of levity pregame, and Pierce could not recall that. So the media, between laughing at him and kind of joining in with him, told him that it was actually Markieff Morris. But it was a kind of a funny moment that you might not have seen, probably you actually couldn't have seen anywhere unless you were in the room. So everybody had sort of a good chuckle with that, including Lloyd Pierce. So that was sort of an interesting moment that I want to pass along behind the curtain stuff every once in a while. And that was one of those moments. So with all of that said, and all that as a backdrop, we'll talk about what actually transpired in this game. Starting at the top here, it was Trae Young being guarded by Austin Rivers, who actually got the start for Washington as sort of their point guard. Bradley Beal handled the ball a lot for them in this game, and we'll talk about him more later. But some pretty interesting matchup stuff early on in this game. The Hawks scored very well in the first quarter. They scored on their first five possessions. They had 12 points in the first 3 minutes, including 7 from John Collins. Good activity from the likes of Collins and Dedmon in the early going. Went through an entire rotation in the first quarter with only three wings, and that was sort of, I think, the plan going in. Pierce did not necessarily clarify that after the game, but from the way that he was deploying the rotation in the first quarter before any injury stuff with Jeremy Lin or anything like that, he went with only three wings on that first trip around the rotation with Kevin Huerter. DeAndre Bembry and Kent Bazemore. So that's something to just sort of check that box and looking forward and seeing what's going to happen there. But that was the original plan, I think, in reading between the lines a little bit. Late in the first quarter, though, he went with the combination of Miles Plumlee and Tyler Dorsey. He later said after the game that the Plumlee deployment was because of foul trouble to the big men up front. Dorsey, I think, was probably just going to be a Lynn replacement of some sort in this game. And then Dorsey ended up playing very well, which we'll talk about here in a second. But both those guys came in the game ahead of Justin Anderson. Anderson did not play very much at all, which is worth noting because I kind of assumed and even asked pregame about Justin Anderson being sort of the Prince replacement, not in role specifically, but I thought that he would pretty much slot in as the fourth wing. It does not appear that that's going to be the case necessarily. He was, in fact, the guy who played the least out of the entire active players in this game. Yeah, Anderson played the least, 1 with 2 minutes. So we'll come back to that later on, probably a little bit more, but that was something to note in the first quarter. Collins had a nice first quarter with 9 points and 5 rebounds, but the Hawks defensively kind of struggled in the first quarter with a 137 defensive rating. The Hawks just couldn't make threes as well. And in the second quarter, things got a little bit uglier. Lloyd Pierce actually mentioned after the game that the second quarter was something where he kind of said that everything that could have gone wrong went wrong in the second quarter. I'm not sure I'd go that far, but a lot of things did go wrong in the second quarter. There was a nice off-the-dribble three from Trae Young, which is nice to see. Always wanted to mention that. And at the time, we didn't know this, but they went to a no-point guard lineup in the second quarter with Herter, Bembry, and Bazemore on the floor together. I was questioning that in the moment, and then we find out briefly after that that Lynn was actually going to be out for the rest of the game. They sort of explained that just as something to note moving forward. The Hawks actually got down by 25 points at one point in the second quarter. The ball was rolling downhill in a big way. In fact, the Wizards scored 39 points in the second quarter. It honestly looked like the game was probably going to be over at that point in time. Collins, Dedmon, and Lynn all had 3 fouls. They went to Vince Carter at the 5 at one point in the second quarter, which kind of tells you all you need to know about the rotation and who was available and all that fun stuff. But the Hawks shot 33% from the floor and 17% from 3 in the first half. They had 7 turnovers. They had an 89 offensive rating. They had a 131 defensive rating and allowed 20 free throws from the Wizards in the first half. Bradley Beal had 21 points in the first half. And it was pretty much a nightmare top to bottom. And honestly, given the way that the Wizards have been playing recently and without John Wall, it was not the greatest half in the world, and we'll come back to that later, as that was sort of the impetus for why the Hawks lost this game, because the second half was actually pretty darn good. We'll talk about that now. So the Hawks actually started the second half with a 5-point play, which is kind of interesting to see. They got a stop on one end. John Collins had a 3-point play potential, missed the free throw, but the Hawks got the offensive rebound and found Dwayne Dedmon for a 3. So 5 points in a hurry sort of set the stage for the third quarter the way that it was. I thought Kent Bazemore was not great in the first half, but he really woke up in the third and was fantastic. He had 11 points in about 6 minutes to start the second half. He was the engine of what was going on there energy-wise and scoring-wise for the Hawks. They actually went to a Herter, Tyler Dorsey, and DeAndre Bembry backcourt, sort of a three-man look during what would have probably been a Jeremy Lin stretch in the third quarter. They had back-to-back threes from Vince Carter and Kevin Herter to get down by 17. That forced a timeout. After that, there was a nice run from the Hawks, a 19-5 run by the Hawks to end the quarter. That featured a Bembry steal and dunk to beat the buzzer and slash the lead all the way down 9, which is pretty crazy and pretty unthinkable given where they were before that. The Wizards did give them some help, I will say, in the third quarter with an awful foul with actually 0.3 seconds to go on the shot clock late in that run. But the Hawks shot 67% from the floor, 7 of 8 from the line, and 6 of 8 from 3 in the third quarter. They had 45 points in the third. That was the largest of the season for Atlanta. And honestly, here's the craziest stat of the night. The Hawks have not scored 45 points in a quarter since March 12th, 2004. I was a senior in high school at that point in time. It's been a long, long time. That's 14-plus years away from the last time the Hawks scored 45 points in a quarter, that according to Hawks PR, and they actually were playing the Wizards that night, which is kind of a crazy bit of synergy there. But the third quarter was awesome in a lot of ways for Atlanta. They played very well in that period. The 45 points stands on its own, but even defensively, they were pretty feisty. They were playing at a fast pace, which, you know, 31 points allowed doesn't look great, but I thought the Hawks played very well, about as well as they played in a long time there. For a quarter, getting back that sort of getting the game back to where it was a manageable deficit. In fact, it actually got the lead down to 5 early in the fourth quarter. From there, though, it was Wizards sort of putting the game away to a certain extent. There was a 9-1 run to put the game back to 13. Later on, there was a sort of dagger from Thomas Satoransky that I noted, and another one from Bradley Beal. So after that one run to get the lead down to 5. It's pretty much all Wizards from there, which is not a huge surprise. You have to expend a lot of energy to cut a lead like that from 25 down to 5, and Washington was just the better team. After that, one note in the fourth quarter, Trae Young was fouled very, very hard by Austin Rivers with 9:16 to go. He stayed in the game, but actually he was fouled shooting a 3. Pierce did make sure that he noted it was not a dirty play or anything like that from Rivers. Just sort of a confluence of events where it was a basketball play. He landed really, really hard. I actually heard it where I was up on Media Row. Apparently the TV broadcast had it captured as well as to just how hard Young fell. He had 3 free throws from there. He made the first one, then he missed 4 in a row. He missed the second 2 there and missed the next 2 that he took. That was sort of actually a pretty big swing. Tough to blame a guy who just landed that hard and stayed in the game for missing free throws. But before that, he's 5 of 5. He missed his last 4. That actually hurt a little bit during that run. Still, the way the Hawks played is pretty admirable in the second half. Young apparently was a little bit sore after the game. No big surprise there, but he was able to finish the game. And that is worth pointing out after what was a sort of a brutal looking fall and the way that he fell on his back and on his elbow. So all that to say, it was a game where there were obviously highs and lows here. Defensively, the Hawks allowed a 118 offensive rating for the Wizards. That's not great by any means. Bradley Beal had 36 points and 9 assists. He was by far the best player on the floor. He was fantastic in this game. I will say, as a non-Hawks note, more of a big picture NBA note, it was very interesting to see the Wizards play this way without John Wall, who has been much maligned this year. Beal was fantastic, and he's their best player, honestly, at this point. I think people probably should know that at this point in time, but Beal is fantastic and was great in this game. Also, Otto Porter had 20, 11, and 5. The Wizards made plays. They were pretty shorthanded. It was actually weird to see them. Their bench was so empty because they just don't have a lot of guys. They have 13 guys only on their roster, and they also have some injuries as well. So they were very shorthanded in this game. We even saw Okoro White. We saw Troy Brown a little bit. We saw Jason Smith a little bit. There wasn't a lot of depth for the Wizards, but it didn't really matter on a night when Beal and Porter both had it going. They were able to win anyway. On the Hawks side, offensively, nothing great here. A 105 offensive rating. A couple of bright spots we'll talk about later in terms of individual performances, but the Hawks were 12 of 38 from 3. In fact, both teams were both 12 of 38 exactly from 3, which is not a great high-end game there. The Wizards had 35 assists, which is noteworthy. They were really passing the ball around, sort of zinging the ball around quite a bit there. The Hawks had 28, which is just fine. Obviously, it's pretty good for a assist total in terms of for a team that's not necessarily, outside of Young, filled with great passers. There's something to follow there for the future. I think Pierce likes that quite a bit. And actually, after the game, Pierce said that the second half was, quote, I believe it was said the proudest that he was all season long of the team's play. He sort of mentioned earlier that, second quarter was sort of the second quarter from hell. But after that, the third quarter, he was really, really proud of his team. Easy to see why. The Hawks lost this game, but they were down by 25 in the second quarter. They came all the way back, shorthanded, weird rotations on a night. We just had a lot of weirdness going on without Taurean Prince, et cetera, and to come back and play that well in the second half, make this actually a game, was pretty admirable for a bad team that the Hawks actually are at this point, whichever we have to kind of say that every once in a while just to remind everybody. But a high and low night to be sure, but big picture, it wasn't a disaster, which it seemed to probably kind of be in the first half. I was getting pretty frustrated just watching this team play. I thought before this game, I actually even tweeted it out, that I thought the Hawks might win this game. It's a pretty good setup for them in a lot of ways. Washington was traveling, second night of the road trip for them. The Hawks were pretty well rested. I know they were without Prince, but with all the injuries and all the weirdness, the Hawks, hanging around here was actually pretty admirable, and we'll talk more about that here in a moment. But before we do get to that, I do want to tell you guys about the good folks at Action Heat. Because this episode is sponsored by Action Heat, and Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. They heat on demand with a touch of a button, and you can control your environment perfectly with Action Heat. Because Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels that are similar to a heated car seat, which are always lovely. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees, and they're powered by lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on every single charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone, which is always helpful for people like me. They're always on their phones and other gadgets as well while you're wearing them. They're perfect for gifts, for friends and family, anybody that likes to be warm, which is always a good thing, or hates to be cold, anybody that likes to be outside, especially in the wintertime, skiers, snowboarders, anybody that likes the outdoors, really like Action Heat, because the clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body. They have heated jackets, they have socks, gloves, hats, even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with the good folks at Action Heat. They also have men's and women's clothing. They have great styles and models just released for just this winter season. And they it's definitely something you want to look into if you're trying to be outside at all, because it was very, very cold today, for instance, in Atlanta. Even in Atlanta, it gets kind of cold. If you have family and friends elsewhere that are in colder environments, they want to check out Action Heat to be sure. Heated products that fit into everyone's budget are available as well, starting at just $39.99. And we have a special deal for our listeners as well. To save 20% off your entire order, go to actionheat.com/lockedon, actionheat.com/lockedon, to check out everything that Action Heat has to offer for this holiday season. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save that 20% off on your full order. So stay toasty warm with while you enjoy all of your activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast today. Check out Action Heat one more time, actionheat.com/lockedon. Check that out today. All right, and we're back to talk about the individual stuff in this game, as we always do. A couple of notes that I want to pour into here. Well, Lloyd Pierce had some interesting comments after the games. We'll start in the starters for this game. We'll start there first. Trae Young had a very interesting game. We won't finish with him as we often do here, but he had 14 points, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 6 turnovers in 33 minutes. Young had the hard fall, which I mentioned before, and missed his last 4 free throws. Not terribly efficient offensively for Trae Young. I will just let Lloyd Pierce talk about what he said, and this got a lot of reaction. I actually tweeted about this after the game as he was saying it, but here's what Lloyd Pierce had to say about Trae Young and the way that he played in this game.
No, you know, and honestly, I thought this was one of Trae's better games. And, you know, 2 of his turnovers came late. And I tell him all the time, last game he was really bad with the turnover issue in the first half. He had 7. But when he has 3 or 4 turnovers, it's not an issue to me. He's playing 30 minutes. He's getting 10 or 8 assists. That's a good number. Still 2-1, sometimes 3-1 assist to turnover ratio. I thought he was settled, and he did 4 shots. He got to the rim and got by his guy. He hit a 3 on the break. He had a couple open threes that he just didn't make, but I thought he was very much under control, and he got our guys involved. And to me, that was one of his better floor games.
So I have to say that I don't think I agree with that, with Pierce saying that this is one of his better games. I do understand what he is trying to say, though. There was a lot of reaction from people on Twitter, like looking at his stat line especially, and saying there's no way that's actually true. And I don't think this is one of Young's better games. What I will say, though, is that he wasn't bad in this game. The turnovers were too many, as you probably even heard Pierce allude to there. But I think a lot was probably made of, you know, his stats, all that fun stuff. I thought the floor game actually was pretty decent in this game. I think Pierce is overstating a little bit, but he's kind of just getting his guys back, which makes sense. There's a lot of heat on Young in the last couple of days, and rightly so in a lot of ways. We talked about this, by the way, yesterday on the podcast with Jeff Siegel. If you missed it, we spent a lot of time on Trae, mostly with his shooting, but also some of his floor game stuff as well. You know, Pierce did sort of walk back his original comment to say that he thought he was good in the floor game, or at least pretty good in the floor game. I kind of agree with that. The shooting is kind of what it is. He's not making shots right now. There were a couple of shots that I thought he would make in this game, and the free throws kind of hurt him as well. But if he made his normal, probably 8 of 9 in this game, that he also would have 17 points instead of 14, which just sounds better in a lot of ways. So all that to say, I know what Pierce was trying to do with this comment here. I don't agree fully that he was as good as he was saying that he actually was in this game, but I also thought that Young was better than his stats indicate, which is one of those things I don't often like to I'm not an apologist by any means. I think there was some chatter about that today. It was kind of funny. I had to go back to talking to someone about this as if they didn't remember what I'd said in June about the trade stuff and all that stuff. I didn't always love that, so I'm not like, there's no agenda here for Trae Young, but I thought he actually played pretty well in this game, all things considered. When it comes to, you know, defensively, it's obviously a rough one for him, a tough matchup for him in a lot of ways. But, Pierce went too far in what he said, in my opinion. With that said, I also didn't want to kill him for it either, as a lot of fans did, because I actually think that Trae had some nice moments in this game, and that should be pointed out as well. Next on the agenda, Kevin Huerter had a pretty quiet night, 8 points and 4 assists and 3 rebounds for Huerter, 27 minutes. I think he might have played more if there wasn't some other things happening. You know, Bazemore was really good. We'll talk about him in a second. Huerter was just okay. I thought he had some really nice moments in this game, as he usually does, but you know, nothing to jump off the screen too much for me. I want to see him play more and more. I think he probably will on a night when Tyler Dorsey doesn't have it going or Bazemore doesn't have it going. I think Huerter was probably going to be playing somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 minutes a night while Torian Prince is out of the lineup, but I had no issue with the way that Pierce sort of used those other guys, because they were pretty hot, especially Bazemore and Dorsey in the second half. So Huerter was fine, and we'll kind of leave it there for now. Dwayne Dedmon had 10 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, and an assist in this spot. Dedmon was sort of high and low a little bit offensively. He's not playing that well offensively right now. I think he's kind of the pairing between Dedmon and Collins is not going all that well for Dedmon. I think Collins is sort of to figure it out a little bit, but Dedmon's just kind of it's not ideal to play him with another guy who needs the same sort of similar spaces that Dedmon also has. Dedmon's sort of getting out of the way a little bit more now, which is nice. But, you know, I thought he was just okay. Especially in the second half, I thought he was better. The first half, he was really active in the first quarter. Had some lulls in the middle, but I thought Dedmon was just okay overall. The shooting is kind of still struggling, and I'm not sure where the baseline is now after seeing him. You know, he shot the ball well last year. We talked about this yesterday on the podcast as well. But Dedmon just not shooting the ball with a ton of confidence right now. I thought he was okay, though, in the overall sense. Next on the agenda, Kent Bazemore, I mentioned before, was awesome in the third quarter. He had 22 points, 6 assists, 4 steals, a block, and 2 rebounds in 35 minutes. 8 of 18 from the floor, 2 of 9 from 3 is not great by any means, and his shooting struggles continue. But I actually thought Bazemore was pretty bad in the first quarter, especially, and really the entire first half. I didn't think it was his best work, but he was really awesome after halftime. He was the impetus for that huge run in the third quarter, at least the first impetus for that huge run, and something clicked there. He came out sort of with his hair on fire in the third quarter. That's something that he's capable of doing. He's the best wing on this team. He still is, and you know, it was not perfect here. He fouled out after 35 minutes with 6 fouls, and he was minus 22, but that was a lot of that was just kind of being on the floor in the first half. But I thought Bazemore was very, very good in the second half of this game, and as a result, ended up with a pretty good night overall from him. Last but not least, John Collins, 26 points and 14 rebounds in 32 minutes, 12 of 17 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3. Good to see him make some shots as well. It was the third straight double-double for Collins, the first time in his career he's done that, and also the second game in a row in which he netted a new career high. He had 26. That was his career high again. He set the previous mark of 24 on Monday, so Collins has been great recently. In fact, it was kind of funny. Lloyd Pierce talked about how Collins was just okay in his mind in this game, and I kind of agree. It wasn't like Collins was just like dominating. I thought he played well. You know, Pierce was saying that as a compliment to Collins, actually. Just the fact that he didn't have to play this like outrageously good game by his standards to have 26 points. He's capable of more than that. I thought he was pretty good, but it wasn't like he was just outstanding either. So a good sign from him moving forward. He's the best big man on the team by a wide margin at this point in time. You know, he might be the best player on the team at this point. It's something I'm going to take a little bit to just declare full stop, because I was on the train last year of kind of just waiting a little bit longer than you might think to anoint him as the best player on the roster. But right now it's probably the case, and we'll see what happens moving forward. But Collins is playing very, very well right now, and another nice game from him in this spot. Off the bench, we will talk about these guys that played big minutes here. Vince Carter, 22 minutes, 13 points, 3 of 6 from 3, 4 of 7 from the floor overall, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. Vince had a couple nice big shots in that big run that the Hawks made in the third quarter. He was just okay otherwise, but that was very important, and that's kind of what Vince brings. You know, it's just that veteran stuff, but also a nice finish at the rim, and three nice threes, and that's pretty much his principal value right now as an offensive player right now. But you know, he's playing well at different times this season. DeAndre Bembry at 27 minutes, 8.6 assists, 4 steals, 3 rebounds in 27 minutes for him. 4 of 11 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3. As usual, it was highs and lows with Bembry. Pierce praised his effort after the game. But, you know, Bembry, a couple frustrating plays in the first half, a couple of great finishes at the rim, a couple of bad finishes at the rim. It's pretty much the entire DeAndre Bembry experience. I still like him quite a bit as a player, but the highs and lows can be frustrating at times because the lows are pretty ugly. But, you know, aside from the bad shooting, I thought he actually played a pretty good floor game overall. The rest of the guys, we'll save Tyler Dorsey for last. The rest of the guys kind of played bit roles here. Miles Plumlee, 7 minutes, had 3 points and a rebound. Alex Len, 10 minutes, did not score, had 2 rebounds. That was all foul trouble. And then actually, you know, planning in this game beforehand, it seemed like Pierce is going to be playing Len more. He actually ended up playing him less. Some of that was just game situation dictating that he wouldn't play a ton, because the Hawks were in comeback mode in the second half. The Wizards were kind of playing small at different times, so it wasn't the greatest matchup in the world for Alex Len, so something to just keep in mind there as well. Jeremy Lin played okay before he left, but you know, only 4 minutes, 2 points, assist, and a rebound for him. Justin Anderson, only 2 minutes. That's a topic we'll spend some more time on later on, but I was surprised to see him not play very much here, and I think it's not great for him, honestly. This is probably a good matchup for him on paper. I'm not sure if that was something that the Hawks just saw, or they wanted to play their other wings more often here. But I actually thought coming in that he would be the fourth wing on this roster. I'm not sure that's going to happen now, even with Pierce out. Even with Torian Prince out. We'll see if he plays more on Saturday as the Hawks play the Nuggets. But for now, it looks like Anderson might be on the outside looking in of a rotation spot moving forward. Last but not least, because he actually played very well in this game, was Tyler Dorsey. He had 11 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists in 20 minutes. I asked Pierce after the game about Dorsey's performance, and this is what Pierce had to say about what he got from his backup shooting guard.
Just aggressive. You know, he's been waiting for his opportunity, and Torian's out, and with the foul trouble before our bigs, we had to go small. We had to keep fresh bodies out there, and so when he got in, capitalized on it, and that's, he knows that. We've had tons of conversations about when his opportunity may come up. It's normally through an injury, and he came in with the right mindset. You know, he wasn't bitter. He hasn't been bitter. He's been great. He continues to work. And I thought his aggression, he didn't settle or just take bad shots. He got to the foul line, which is really, really important, especially in that second half. It's just really important to staying downhill, attacking, and getting to the foul line, making easy plays.
It's absolutely a credit to Dorsey to come, you know, not in fully cold. He's definitely played some garbage time minutes and some stuff in the fourth quarters in recent games, but he's not really been in the rotation for quite some time, and I think he probably knew there was a chance of that with Prince heading out. And, you know, even in that answer that you just heard from Pierce, he referenced injury as the sort of engine for getting Dorsey on the floor. But honestly, you know, credit to him. This is one of his better games in a Hawks uniform that I've ever seen him play, honestly. In terms of just overall floor game, I thought he played well defensively. He gave good effort. Rebounding has always been a kind of a strength of Dorsey's. He made his shots. You know, he missed two of three threes, but, you know, in general, got to the line a few times. You know, Pierce mentioned that as well. So just an aggressive, nice, well-balanced game from Dorsey. I wonder if he'll be able to keep that up or whether he'll be allowed to keep that up, because I was surprised that he actually saw more time than Anderson in this game. But to be fair, he definitely rewarded Pierce with his effort and played very well. So something to just keep an eye on is that battle, I guess, you know, quote-unquote battle for minutes between those two guys. I do think Dorsey originally came in this game because of Lynn's injury, but, you know, if Lynn can't play the next game, I think you might see some Jalen Adams. But aside from that, you know, a couple days off here to sort of get right and see what the roster looks like. But Saturday might feature Tyler Dorsey, and it wouldn't be a surprise after the way he played in this game, because he played very well, and he should definitely be credited for that. And as Pierce notes, it's a skill, it's an effort thing, but it's also just professionalism to be able to be ready when you haven't played in a while, at least in a competitive portion of a game, to come in and just play well right away. That's not a talent that everybody possesses, and Dorsey definitely turned it on here. So credit to him for playing very well in this spot. So, All that to say, you know, the Hawks lost this game by 14 points, and at the end of the day, I'm sure people will remember this loss for just kind of being a loss to the Wizards at home a couple months from now. But there was a lot going on, as you probably mentioned here. I probably could have gone another 10 minutes on just individual stuff that I saw in this game, but, you know, without going too much over the top, it was a pretty entertaining basketball game, all things considered. In the first half, I wouldn't have probably bet on that, honestly, but the way the Hawks played in the third quarter, 45 points is just kind of jumping off the screen to me, even right now. First time in 14 years. That's kind of a crazy thing to see for a team that was as good as the Hawks were for a decade, to not having done that the entire time, and then now they do it with this particular group, is kind of wild to see. But, you know, credit to Atlanta for playing well in the second half. Still a loss, and Saturday it looks like it's going to be a rough time of it. I will say the Nuggets are very, very good. They are coming off a back-to-back on Friday, so with some travel there, so the playing field level is just a little bit for Atlanta. But we'll have at least one more podcast between now and Saturday night. But just something to keep in mind between now and them, because that's a tough spot. The Nuggets are one of the better teams in the league, and things will not be easy for the Hawks there. They do have 2 days off now, Thursday and Friday. I believe Lloyd Pierce has given the team the full day off on Thursday, but they'll have a practice on Friday. We'll see what transpires there. But yeah, thank you for listening to the podcast as always. I really appreciate it. And please forgive the all over the place nature of this podcast today, but there was just so much going on that I was trying to cram it all in and get some audio and some context, and, you know, not have people shoot the messenger when it comes to me passing along quotes about Trae Young, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Please check it out on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, all those spots. Also, PeaceYourHoops.com, where I'm the editor in chief, and all that fun stuff as well. If you like written content or breakdowns or video breakdowns, all that fun stuff, it was definitely there on PeaceYourHoops.com. Thank you for listening, everyone. We'll see you guys later on in the week.